It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, let's do this. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along on this Saturday morning. And my partner, Captain Mike.
How you doing, Captain Sean?
I'm good. I'm good. And this marine forecast, 100% better than it was last week. It's the understatement of the year.
Yes, I believe it'd be a little better.
That joker, Cristobal, it was, looking at what happened down the island, too, with the amount of the height the water came up and all that. Yeah. They had given the range from 1 to 3 feet of storm surge. Yeah. I'll tell you right now what I saw down there. It was all 3 feet.
Or more. I think after it passed by, it even got worse.
Yes.
You know, than before.
I was thinking Sunday was the high. Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah. And it had passed on by.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But we're still getting those southerly winds at the high tide. And the good thing about this, and we'll talk about this later in the show, I don't know if there's truth to it, but we all kind of believe that, I think, after a tropical storm or hurricane, it kind of
stirs things up
yep. and makes the fishing better.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out for sure. Also, I want to talk about later on the show, gator season. The application period's open for that. We'll talk about that, the different zones, how to get in on that as well. All right. And okay. Yes?
You I
ready?
Said okay.
You ready to
yeah,
go?
Ready.
You ready to go. All right. And let's welcome center stage on the mic, our buddy Corey Quint, president of the 87th Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, who's joining us now on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Hey, man.
And the snapper slapper.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, can we do – let's do that.
About the, I just heard y'all talking about the storm surge, and, you know, my folks live down there, and, man, it was really high. You know, they had water in the yard next to them, 75% up to the road. You know, we had water almost up to our building at the rodeo site, so –
Yeah, for
it was unexpected.
Yeah, for a tropical storm, it was pretty significant. Yeah, and like your parents' house is not too far from where we are down there, and it was on up in the yard, like way on up in the yard. The water there, it was the raise the boat as high as possible in the lift kind of day.
Absolutely.
Hey, before we get into talking about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and chance for folks to get out there and to get online and get tickets, I do want to. Because we talk about the snapper slapper, congratulations to you and Captain Richard Rutland. Those are two of the finest snapper I've seen weighed in. That's good work,
monsters.
Yeah, man, we had a we had a good time. We cobia fished all day. We probably spent eight hours, you know, trying to catch cobia because it was a two division, you know, kind of a tournament. You had snapper and cobia, and we put our money and put our eggs in the basket for cobia and, kind of did a change of pace and got on some really good fish and, had a good turnout.
Yeah, real good. What were y'all's two snapper? What'd they weigh?
Combined, it was like 47-10 for two fish.
That's some really good snapper. That really is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's all. Hey, by the way, on the side note, did y'all find any ling? You find any cobia out there?
Man, we couldn't buy one. we fished everything that we could fish and just couldn't buy one. And it wasn't really great conditions either. You know, that day was pretty dang rough. You know, Richard and I, you know, we're known to do a little bit crazy stuff out of that bay boat.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was like running out 12 miles an hour. You might get 18 on the backside of a wave. You know, it was.
Right. Takes a while.
Yeah, it took a little bit, but we got it done.
Yeah, and that was a 25-foot bay boat that you caught it in. I mean, y'all were competing against a lot of people in big boats, and y'all did great out of a 25. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, man, that 25 bay, we're giving one away.
Yeah. I do want to talk about, what a perfect pivot. That's why he's the president. That's why Corey Quint's the president. All right, let's pivot in that. Let's talk about the – It gets bigger and better every year with y'all in the JCs. What the grand prize, the random drawing grand prize boat this year is a what?
It's a 2020 25-foot Contender Bay powered with a 250 Yamaha show motor sitting on a Sport Trail trailer. All you have to do is weigh in a legal fish in our competition, and you will go into a random drawing for that prize.
That's an awesome deal.
It is what keeps us all to the end of to the cannon shot on Sunday of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
So
it keeps us all focused.
About a 1 out of 3,000 chance, because it'd be 3,500 people fishing or more probably, but not everybody weighs a fish in, so probably about a 1 out of 3,000.
That's about right.
Yeah,
one out of 3,000
chance.
Hopefully we get good weather and everybody can weigh in a fish, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
That's for sure. Okay, I want to talk about this, too. Let's get this off the top here, that we're fishing. It is we're going to fish Roy Martin, we're going to fish the rodeo, but there are some changes, right, Corey?
Right. I mean, you know, Sean, I've told you this numerous times. You know, we plan this event for 11 months. You know, we get done with the rodeo, we take about a week off, and then bam, you know, you start planning again for the next year. You know, every year, like you say, you know, we try to make it bigger and better. Well, our mindset shifted, you know, in March, April, May from how do we make this bigger and better to how do we ensure that this thing goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So during the height of everything with the COVID pandemic, you know, we had to make some tough decisions as the board of directors to ensure that this could go on. You know, we worked with the town, we worked with different entities to make sure that this event could go on. And with that, you know, we had to commit to some changes, you know, because we still had to plan. You know, it's not something that we can just, let's make this small switch and go.
Right.
You know, so with that, you know, at the time, we couldn't give anybody a reason to congregate. So what that means is we had to cancel the music. We had to cancel the alcohol sales. We had to cancel the liar contest. We had to remove our sponsor tent, you know, because we couldn't give anybody a reason to bundle up and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though I know, I feel like, you know, in society today, everything is that's starting to lessen more and more. But, you know, we had to commit to these changes just so we can make sure it still goes on, you know. So, I mean, our site will still be open to the public. You know, we're still going to be selling T-shirts. You can still come and watch people weigh in. You can come and see the fish. You can come and watch the boats. You know, if you just want to come watch a sunset, you know, I think we got the best spot to watch a sunset on the whole island, you know. So it's still open for access. It's just we're not going to have anything to necessarily, you know, get you to congregate. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. And so the key takeaway here is we're still fishing. It's those, the other things that have grown there are going to be, you know, maybe delayed for a year here, but the fishing is not stopping. We are fishing and full categories and everything, right?
Yeah, full categories. Actually, we got some additional stuff this year, you know, that I like to talk about. But, you know, first and foremost, you know, we are the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You know, that is what we are at our core. That is what we are having. You know, essentially this year it's a fishing tournament and we're selling our merchandise that people love. You know, and it's, you know, the show aspect of it, I guess is what you could call mm-hmm. it, is, you know, we had to take that away to ensure, and trust me, it was not of
You might talk closer to your microphone.
Yeah, sorry.
I think you're kind of closer to your microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, a little better.
Yeah. There we go.
So the show aspect of it had to go away to ensure that we could keep fishing, which is what we are at our core.
That's right.
All right. I want to talk about this as Father's Day is coming up. What a great idea to present Dad with a ticket, maybe for you buy your ticket and Dad's ticket. That's going to be available online, or talk us through that.
Yeah, so we're going to have tickets available starting Father's Day weekend. They'll be available online. You can go to adsfr.com and you can click purchase tickets. I know we'll have outlets. We'll have Academy and Foley, Academy Mobile, Academy West Mobile, Quint, Tackle This, Shoot That, Greer's at Bailey's Corner, you know, right there at Fowl River.
Right.
And they will be available at the rodeo site for the Roy Martin. And on Thursday, the 16th, before the tournament starts.
Very good.
Okay, so what about all the Calcuttas, all that, getting in the King Mackerel jackpots, the Speckled Trout jackpot?
We don't use the term Calcutta. Yeah,
cash awards.
We use the term cash prizes.
Yeah, cash prizes.
Can't take Mike anywhere.
We're going to have the standard, you know, in the years past, we've had the big game. We've had the King Mackerel. We've had Speckled Trout, which there are some changes to that this year, and we've had Tarpon. In addition to that, this year, we're going to have Red Snapper, and we're also going to have Blackfish cash prize divisions. You know, to elaborate on the speckled, well, before I go into the speckled trout, we are doing a really cool prize giveaway. If you're in any of the cash prize divisions and you enter a fish, there is a random drawing for all cash prize entries for a Seakeeper 1 plus install.
Man.
Those are the things, y'all, if you don't, I mean, Corey, tell folks if they don't know what Seakeeper is. What is that? What's that? What is a Seakeeper?
It's a gyro for a boat. And I mean, we'll have demos on the site. I mean, there's, you can put 10 guys on one side of a boat and they can be rocking it and rocking it and rocking it to where the water's almost coming over the gunwale. As soon as they flip a switch, you know, the boat goes still. You can't rock it. It helps in rough weather. It keeps you stabilized. It's a very, very cool product, but it's also a very high-end product. You know?
Yes.
So this is a very big prize that we're giving away.
So you're just giving one away, or is it one for each cash prize category?
We're giving one away, but it's going to be a random drawing from all cash prize entries.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Those things are...
They're expensive.
$20,000 or $30,000, $40,000, depends on what size, I guess.
Right. Well, this is the Seakeeper 1. What they've, like I said, it's going to include installation as well. So they value, you know, it's the Seakeeper and Saunders Marine.
Yeah.
So installation is going to happen locally over in Orange Beach at Saunders. And between the installation and the prize itself, it's probably a $25,000 to
$30,000. Whoa. Yeah.
Like, that's the value of it.
My, big time. Okay.
It is.
You've gotten some attention.
Awesome.
Attention there. And you were saying speckled trout, too, changes in speckled trout?
Yeah. So, you know, the rodeo keeps conservation in mind. You know, obviously, we have a lot of anglers. We have a lot of people on the water. There's a lot of fish getting caught. You know, so we try to keep in mind conservation. You know, there was new changes to the... to speckled trout that came out, I want to say, in August of last year. And, you know, with that, we had to make changes. So the way the speckled trout's going to work this year, it's going to be a slot fish. I believe it's 15 to 22 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's up to 22 inches. And where it's going to be a pinch tail, that's the slot fish is going to play into your open competition, which is your first through third. Your jackpot is going to be a slot fish, so that's going to be an extreme competition, you know, this year. And then once you move into cash prizes, we have two different divisions. One of them is going to be a five-fish creel, and it's going to be it can be a combination of four fish inside the slot plus a lunker, which our lunker is defined as a 26-inch plus fish, or it can be five creel fish. Then you can move over to what we're calling the speckled trout lunker, which is a single fish over 26 inches. So what we're trying to prevent there, Sean, is, you know, we're trying to prevent those a bunch of those fours and fives, those spawning trout, from getting killed. And, you know, we still want to have, if somebody catches a fish of a lifetime and comes in and weighs a 7-8 pound trout, we want to have a place for you to play, you know.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, that's something to be proud of.
Sure.
You know, and then the last change for speckled trout is in our live division. That's actually sponsored by CCA of Alabama now. they're sponsoring the live redfish and live speckled trout. Redfish is still going to be the largest fish weight, but the speckled trout, what we're doing is we have changed from the largest or total weight to whoever has the most that they weigh in live. So essentially,
Somebody
can come in, weigh six a day, and if they do six Friday, six Saturday, six Sunday, they have 18 fish, they can, you know, they can win the prize, you know, or if it's 17 or 16, whatever it may be, we're trying to get those numbers up to get more tags out there for research.
So it's the number of individual legal fish versus the weight.
Exactly, for speckled trout.
In the live division. That's interesting. That's new as well.
And doing it for tagging.
Yep, we're doing it for the research for South.
Yeah.
Always a big South conservation. Yeah, y'all always have had the big conservation and research portion of what you do. So that's proven here. All right, let's do this before we run out of time. So once again, website, or where's the best place to go for information?
ADSFR.com. That's going to give you most of your information that you need. Follow us on Facebook, Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. That's, you know, we give all kind of updates and stuff like that through there. So that's always the best place to find us.
Great stuff. President of the rodeo, the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, our friend Corey Quint. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Corey.
All right, coming right back, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, joins us. Lots to talk about with him next. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all with us. Big thank you to President of the Rodeo, Corey Quint, talking about the things that are happening and the changes that are made and giving
quite a few changes.
Yeah, quite a few changes, but still fishing.
Yes,
still
that's fishing. The main thing.
Still fishing, and tickets will be on sale. Good idea for a Father's Day gift. Are you listening, kids? You listen? You listen? Just thought I'd point that out. All right.
You got to give them the money, though.
Well, that's true. It's a circular thing. Hand the money, go buy the tickets for Dad.
Yeah.
All right. Let's welcome onto the show our friend Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources. Good to have you on.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Good, Scott.
A lot better situation out there this weekend than it was last weekend. Holy cow. That's a heck of a tropical storm.
It was. Last weekend was a good weekend to sit at home, listen to the rain, and drink coffee.
That's right. That's right. Work on tackle. Work on fix the stuff on the boat that you'd messed up in the previous weekend out there. And that's one of the things I want to talk about is kind of where we are in tracking for snapper harvest for this year. And you have a real interesting graphic up, and I'm going to link it on our Facebook page as well. But you go to OutdoorAlabama.com, and it's the 2020 Red Snapper Landing Summary. Scott, explain what I'm looking at here.
Sure. That's a graph that includes the harvest data from 2018 and 2019, the 2 years under the exempted fishing permit, and then 2020. And if you'll look on the graphic, the 2020 season is following the 2018 season, which was a phenomenal effort season. The weather was ideal that year. The fish size was up. There were a lot of people fishing. It was an incredible year. And this year is kind of following that track up until this last weekend. So we don't have this bad weather weekend included in that yet, but it shows you the tremendous number of people that went fishing. And the average size fish is probably around 7 pounds for the private angler, so it's a good size fish. People had great opportunities those two weekends, and then we hit the bad weather weekend, and so that's not reflected in that graphic yet. It's a Tuesday, a week behind is when we post that, so you will see that next Tuesday.
All right, and so if people haven't been following this, Lord knows we've been talking a long time, but this idea is, okay, here's the allocated amount of tonnage that's given the state, and y'all are deciding, you know, here's how we're gonna get that, right? Here's how we're going to fish as close to the line as we can.
That's correct. And so this year, when we worked on the season, we based it on traditional weather patterns, sea height, effort over the last 2018 and 2019 seasons, so that we kind of created an estimate for this season, which is why it's going to run the four-day weekends until July 19th. And so people will ask, well, with this bad weather, the tropical storm we had this last weekend, does that, translate into more days at the end? The answer is yes, no, and maybe. We account for some amount of bad weather when we estimate the season length. We know that there are going to be some days when the winds are going to be up. We know there's a potential for some tropical weather to come through. This year it came in fairly early. And so you will see the graph dip a little bit for that. And then you'll watch the graph as we continue through the season. And so the pounds are still there. You fished a lot of pounds early. Traditionally, when we get closer to July, and you can see in the graph, the pounds kind of drops a little bit. The number of people going, they're on other vacations, they're doing other things. So the effort drops a little bit. The bite often gets a little harder closer to July. So just watch that graph. And please don't avoid reporting because you think, well, if I don't tell you, then
it's not going to count.
We get more fish. It doesn't work that way because our surveys still do an estimate based on the surveys at the boat ramp. So if you've been surveyed by one of our blue-shirted staff members, you still are required to report. We do think that's still a little bit of a concern. But if you just avoid reporting, we're still going to make an estimate. And so if the reporting rate is lower, then the estimate works against you a little bit. So it is better to go ahead and report those fish. And please, if you've been checked by law enforcement or you've been surveyed by our staff, still go on the Outdoor Alabama to the Snapper Check app and report your fish.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the stats here, just numbers. So am I right here? It said, this is through, that's landings through the first day of June that we're at that 498,967 pounds. I mean, that's not half, but it's getting there.
It's close. We're about 1.1 million pounds for this season.
And you just said a couple things there that it's interesting. While, y'all have responsibilities, obviously, to the resource and science and to enforcement, who knew you had to have a sociology course to do this? So, you just said stuff like, I think you're right, that here comes July, people take the vacation, do the, leave. I mean, you're talking about me and my family. I mean, we'll fish hard in June, and there'll be a little bit of time in July before the rodeo. We might not, because if we wanted to go up to the Smokies or something, that's when we'd go.
Correct. And so we look at the science, we look at the effort, we look at the weather, we graph all that. We also then consider how people fish. And so all of that comes to play in that season estimate for us. And so we're trying to track the way that people like to participate in this fishery. And so far we've been fairly close. In 2018, we anticipated a little longer season, but the weather was just perfect. You couldn't ask for a better summer season than we had in 2018. 2019 was more traditional, so if you look at that, that's probably more normal. I don't know what normal is anymore, because
right.
This year we had COVID. I think cabin fever got people. They were ready to go fish. Fuel prices are down. Opportunities were there, and we're glad that people took advantage of that. Now we hope they go and take advantage of other vacation opportunities and fish when they get the chance.
Scott, I think this is the first time ever I have not caught a snapper yet.
You got to factor that in.
Yeah, I got to factor that in. I have not caught a snapper.
But
I've only been one time.
Right.
I went out, and it was opening day of snapper season, and everybody on the boat got sick, and I ended up just bringing them all back in. So I haven't caught a snapper yet.
Well, it's good, because I'd hate to see what the graph looks like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It would just go way down.
No, with you on it, it'd be way up.
No.
But, I'm taken from this, though, see if I say this correctly. It would be, in a situation, because y'all have already factored certain things in, a summer that had more just kind of rough but not tropical storm day, instead of the effect long term could be kind of a rough summer, would have more of effective reduced catch than 3 days of a tropical storm.
It potentially does, because, this weekend, if Friday was a decent day, and we had people that went fishing. It was about 18% of the previous weekend is what it's looking like. And so, but if you have just the typical, we know there's these afternoon thunderstorms coming in, or there's a little bit of tropical system that's skirting us, so we're going to lose a day or so here and there. Yes, you still potentially stand to lose more pounds later, but we have accounted for a certain amount of weather to be included.
Have you gotten response about the Monday, you know, now being 4 days and having Monday in it? Have you gotten response from people whether they like it or not? And has it shown you anything in the stats? Is it? I'm guessing it's probably the fourth out of 4 days in participation. Is that true? And does it show up in the stats?
True. Yeah, Monday would be the lowest day, but you figure we opened on Memorial Day weekend, so people were off from work and the weather was great, so people went fishing on Memorial Day weekend. The next weekend, not as many people did fish, but a lot of positive comments. I even had a couple of folks from Birmingham that I had a conversation with that they weren't going to be able to make it down until Sunday to start their vacation. So they said, well, we're going to fish Sunday and Monday, so we're excited to have that opportunity. So it is filling a niche. It's spreading a little bit of the effort out and giving some people some opportunities that they did not have before. But it is the lowest effort day. And so it's been, you know, we had a holiday, the first one. Then we had a traditional Monday. Mm-hmm. And then we had a tropical storm. Yeah. So we don't have a good read on what a consistent Monday will look like.
Well, maybe this Monday is going to be good because the weather is going to be good.
That's right.
I think so.
Yeah, looks like right now the forecast is going to be good for the weekend and Monday.
Yeah, that is good news.
Yep.
So we'll get. I want to before we go further to meetings coming up this week for you, right?
Sure. This week is the Gulf of Mexico Fisheries Management Council meeting, and unfortunately, due to the COVID concerns, it is a virtual meeting. So you can go to the Gulf of Mexico Fisheries Management Council website and get the link if you want to participate, if you want to hear the meetings. Wednesday is the public comment period that we traditionally have, and you can make public comments through there. There's a link to that. So I will be sequestered for most of the week to participate virtually in the meeting. Relatively light agenda, so that's good. We're hoping that we get back to meeting in person for the next go-round. We have our next meeting in August.
Well, you say light agenda. Any kind of gotten advance on what's going to be there? I mean, is it discussing of? I mean, what's new? Is anything stand out to you that's going to be discussed at this meeting?
No real big standout things. There are some discussions that may come up in the Reef Fish Committee, talking about what they call the calibrations and the state plans between the federal system and the state managed plans. But other than that, there's not a lot of hot pressing topics in this particular meeting, but we always encourage people to go and review the agenda and participate in the parts. That is a good thing, and it's always online. You can always listen to it online, even when we have our in-person meetings. But you can pick and choose what parts you'd like to participate in. But if you still would like to make public comment, you can do that online.
All right, good deal. And we're going to do this because it's important to do, and it's like every Monday I'll come in the studio and be checking emails and stuff or messages on social media. And it's every Monday after the show, people will ask, what's the name of the app again? The one that goes Snapper Fishing. So let's do it again from the top. Director Bannon, what do they need to do to be legal to be Snapper Fishing?
They need to purchase a saltwater fishing license. And if you're going to fish for Gulf Reef Fish, you have to have the Gulf Reef Fish endorsement, which is $10. And then you need to report your snapper through the Snapper Check app, which is available at the Outdoor Alabama app. It's a big OA. If you will log on to that, once you have your account, which takes about 2 minutes to set up, all your information is there. Your licenses are displayed there. Snapper Check takes about 10 seconds after you've done it the first time, and it will work offline. You can actually report when you're offshore. You can put your information in there, and when your phone gets a signal, it will upload, and it's send it and forget it.
You know, I love, too, is once y'all get that, you know, if it's next year or whatever, and you go, oh, gosh, I got to get the Reef Fish endorsement or whatever, you can do that through the app. You can get
Absolutely.
To the license page.
You can
page.
Buy your licenses. You can get information there. It's a fairly user-friendly app.
Oh, and holy cow, I know I told you we were going to go to the break. I want to push the break off for a second, though. Do you have any stats on shrimping? Because all I get is anecdotal pictures people sending me. How's shrimp have been?
We don't have any data just yet. It's still early in the season. But it's been a fair season. We've seen some boats out. Shrimping, unfortunately, is just one of those things that is not as popular as it used to be. But a lot of small boats went. We probably had about 100 boats on the opening across Mobile Bay, Mississippi Sound, and the Perdido area.
All right, very good. Director Bannon, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
We'll do. That's Director Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources. And so there you go. It's kind of interesting, though, because the initial thought, I was like, well, we had a tropical storm, so we'll get all this extra tonnage. She said they've already factored things
all that in.
So there goes my theory on that.
Unless just get it's out just rough every weekend from here to the...
Yeah, don't talk about that stuff. All right, coming right back, Gators in the mix. Got to get your application in now. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have y'all here. Check us out, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
Yes.
If you don't put the outdoors on there, you'll be stuck with all that other stuff from FM Talk 106.5, which is good stuff, but...
It's political.
Yeah, it's a little less of the fishing pictures, yes. Which we like to drive on that. All right, let's make sure we mention this, too, because I guess I'm a couple weeks late on this, and I'm sorry, but a couple weeks late. Registration opened at the beginning of this month for Gator season.
Did you apply this year?
I haven't yet, but I am going to apply.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have in the past, but I'm not going to do it this
year. See, I keep applying because I'm building points, and I want to explain that in a second for those of y'all that had never done that before. But, yeah, registration opened up on June 2nd, and it ends July 8th.
Yeah, so okay. Still got a little time to do it.
Right, that's what, but I'm reminding you now. So,
yeah.
And remember how this works. So you've got the different zones in the state. So you don't just register for the whole state. You register for the specific zone. Now, you can only register once per zone, but you can register for the other zones.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to register for my Southwest Alabama one because I'm not. This time of year, I'm probably not going to go travel to another part of the state to Gator Hunt, you know?
Yeah, and I wonder if as many people are applying for it as they were at first, because everybody was all excited about it and fired up about it at first, and everybody was trying to get a tag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they're probably like me now. They kind of backed off, and you didn't get drawn, and it's like, well, you know.
Right. There's some of that, but that should turn around to some degree, too, with what they're doing. And I say one zone last year, and this year I'll do two. I'll do the Delta, basically, what do they call it officially? It's Southwest and the Delta, but the other one's a coastal, which is all the stuff south I-10.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, it's the same. But I don't know why we have two categories there. I'm sure, like, Chris Nix or the people could tell us why that is. I'm glad that we can gator hunt further south. Lord knows. I mean, the stories we've told on the show, you know, here I am coming past a lighthouse, coming into Mobile Bay, and there's a gator swimming in front of me.
Yeah, no.
I mean, the coastal zone is a good thing. I don't know why that's two zones, not one. Maybe it gives more opportunity, or maybe the tags need to be different in allocation because there's not as many gators that need to be taken out of population south of I-10 as maybe in the Delta zone. You know, usually, and this gets into this system. It's like out west, where you're allocating tags to hunt mule deer or elk or whatever, the biologists are going in there and saying, okay, how many critters we got in here of whatever that is? Okay, what's the carrying capacity? What can we take out of this without long-term harm to the resource?
Yeah.
So it may be, obviously, if you gave – I'm just guessing here. Maybe if Chris Dix or somebody's listening, but if you gave all these tags for a zone that had the Delta and the coastal area – and then everybody just found the easier ones to kill. We might over-harvest the coastal zone because it was easier than the Delta zone. I don't know, but that's just an idea.
Well, I think that you're right. It makes people go hunt them south of I-10, where maybe if they didn't have that zone, 95% of people would be hunting in the Delta.
Maybe, or what I'm saying is the flip side.
Yeah.
If there's plenty of gators south of I-10, but they're probably not – there's not the density because the environment's different that there is in the Delta.
Yeah.
So if the flip side, it put all the pressure down there, you may over-harvest down there and under-harvest,
Yeah. The Delta. And you know what the weird thing is? We get this idea that everybody's successful. You go back and look at the stats on that. That is not true.
No, it is not true. Everybody does not get them. I think most everybody sees them.
Oh, you should. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not getting, they're not seeing the one they want.
They keep when they want, up, or they pass up, and then by the time it's time to go get back and get that one, they can't find
can't
that
find
one.
Them again. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You know, one thing for sure is if you watched the news last week, there is lots of gators south I-10. Yes. Everybody yes. had a yard that yes. was exposed or a little bit of their pier exposed. There
That's
was
right.
a gator sitting on it.
That's for sure. So once again, gator registration, go to outdooralabama.com. They actually have a tab on the right-hand side of the screen. You can just click gator. It'll take you through to registering. It says register for the alligator hunt. This registration ends July 8th at 8 a.m. Okay, so July 8th, 8 a.m., and then they'll do the drawing. It's usually just a couple days after that. And what I was mentioning, too, is this idea about when it first started, it was just a straight put your name in there.
Yeah.
See if you get drawn. People put their name in more. And it got to a point there where people were pouring money in to buy up so many tags that it was a disincentive for somebody like me who's going to buy one entry or two. I think I used to spend $20.
Yeah, me too. $20, $30.
Then it became a disincentive to folks like Mike and I and a whole bunch of other people that, hey, these people are spending $5,000, $10,000 buying tags. And you say, well, that's the, you know, that's how it works. But problem is, once those people kill their gator, they're probably not coming back next year. And there's people like you and I and others that aren't, man, I have no chance.
Right.
So they changed this a few years ago. And this is like it is out west when you're putting in for, deer, elk, you know, anything out there. Each year you don't get drawn. You build a point, okay?
Yeah.
And it's a preference point. In other words, year one you enter, you don't get drawn, okay? Year two you didn't get drawn, you get put in twice. Even though you can only enter once per zone, you now, because you didn't get drawn last year, you get put in twice. 3 years go by, you don't get drawn. The next, that following year, you get put in three times,
yeah.
four times, five times. So the idea is you will have, over time, building these points,
yeah.
a better chance, not a guaranteed chance, because it's yeah. all, but a better chance of drawing than somebody who had just put in for the first time ever.
That's
now, the first time ever person could still do it, but you have a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%, I mean, times better chance.
With your luck. You're going to be 20 years before you get drawn.
It'll be forever. I will be drawn for a bighorn sheep tag in Colorado before yeah. I get drawn. You know, you were talking about this earlier off air. I've got, you know, three different folks to their gators here. People from around the state that know me, and they said, man, I got drawn. And I said, yeah, we'll go get you gator.
Yeah. Right?
You know?
Yeah.
But I have never been drawn. The first year, I'm talking about way back first year, like, was
right.
it 20 years ago maybe?
It
could be darn near. I was
15 years anyway.
Okay, we'll research it. But
I don't think it's 20 years. No,
maybe it's
it
not 20, but
no.
Somewhere between 15 and 20.
We were doing the show here when that happened. So
okay.
That's been 15 years.
I was.
No, you've only been 11 years.
Yeah, the station's been here 11 years, yeah,
yeah
in
so
this format. So
it was here when that happened.
Okay, so a decade ago.
Yeah.
I got drawn as an alternate that first year, and that's the closest I've ever gotten. I've not even gotten.
Yeah.
An alternate after that. Did you ever get alternate?
No, I never did get alternate.
So yeah. The thing now is that has changed. That's what I'm saying. That
yeah,
is changing.
Better.
If you're somebody like Mike and I who've gone through that and go, man, it's not worth doing. They changed that a few years ago, and now we are in a preference point system. Every year you put in for a gator tag that you don't get drawn, you get an increased chance of getting drawn the next year. Not a guaranteed chance, but an increased chance by 1, 2, 3, go down the road.
Yeah, and other states are doing this too,
mm-hmm.
the gator hunt stuff. And I was telling you earlier today about the gator I saw at Pascagoula.
Yes, you said.
Going across the
Mississippi hunters, listen
yeah,
to this.
Pascagoula
you saw
River. I want to tell you, I've seen some big gators, and I've seen one as big as this one maybe up in the Delta. But
uh-huh.
the one I saw on the Pascagoula River the other day going across Pascagoula River in my truck, he was an absolute monster. I don't know how big he was.
But
yeah,
big.
11, 12, 13, 14 foot.
But one of those, when you looked at him, you knew.
Oh, when you look at him, oh, man, mm-hmm. he's wide. He was like, looked like 2, 3 foot wide. I mean, he was a monster.
That head width, what you're talking about, that head width and that back width is the biggest giveaway big gators when you see them.
Yeah, putting out a wake. I'm telling you, he was. I hadn't seen one like that in a very long time. So if I was a gator hunting out of Mississippi, that's
you'd be somewhere underneath
right
I-10
on the west side of the Pascagoula River,
or west side,
west side,
west. And so, right in the main river there, or back?
It was right at the main river right there, yes. Mm-hmm. Right before you go back over on land.
You can go guide some folks over there.
Man, he was a monster.
We want to know how big, if Mississippi Hunters listen to us, if you get him, we want to know how big he is. But I want to point out Mississippi Hunters, Alabama still has, the record. Point that out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Out of Middles Ferry.
Yeah, just not starting any problem, folks in Mississippi. Love folks in Mississippi. Just telling y'all how it is. All right, BL, coming right back to wrap it up. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Mike Ward, Sean Sullivan. We're glad you're here. Hopefully you get a chance to get out and enjoy the fact that it's not a tropical storm this weekend. We did get through the kind of the drought period. We take it to the...
Yeah, we did do that.
You know, we made up for that. Dr. Bill said, we made up, like a 6-inch swing from deficit to being just maybe a little bit over in some areas.
Like a half inch over or something, yes.
Which is good news for, I'll say this, it's good news for our farmers, number one, that are doing it for a living. Depends on what they're farming, but most of them it's been...
Well, if it didn't knock it all down.
That's right. Now, I know some corn stuff took...
The corn stuff, a lot of it is laying on the ground.
Yeah, those folks from the wind definitely took it
and
on.
And then the tomatoes... It rains so much, now they're going to suck up so much water, and they explode.
They
crack.
Let's talk about how Bill Finch says on the show. They split their britches.
Yeah, they split their britches.
We've been bringing it. We've been eating like it's all tomatoes for every meal in our house because we're just steady getting them in and eating those tomatoes.
But, I got a friend of mine, his corn laid down and told me to come get it.
I got some dropped off the other day. Same thing. He said it launched it over. So it's that's bad from the wind. I'd say on the moisture side, because I can't stay away. It's saltwater fishing is great right now. Freshwater fishing is great. What am I worried about? It's good news for those of us working on summertime food sources for our deer.
Full time. I mean, really, when you're trying to put summertime food out, and what you're trying to do too right now, put lime out now that by the fall it's starting to activate.
Yep.
You don't go put lime out when you're putting your oats and wheat and all that out. You put your lime out, try to 4, 5, 6 months ahead of time.
Yeah, it takes that long for it to come to its full value to the soil.
Right.
But, from now, so I've been talking about this, so I've got like 6 acres of beans. I think we'll go check. We'll go check at some point. The deer may have left me no beans, but been good. When the rain started, my beans were – we were getting enough rain to grow beans, but because of the deer pressure I had on them, which I want the deer pressure. I want them to eat them. I just don't want them to knock them completely out. Because of the deer pressure I had when we were in that drought mode, it was pretty tough.
Sure.
It was, pretty tight. Now that we've gotten the rain beforehand, let alone this last weekend's rain – they're having a chance to catch up because they're just getting so much moisture.
Hopefully they will catch up
and
get past where the deer can't eat them all the way down.
Because they're sure trying,
which
is what which I want them to do.
But you plant the right beans.
Forage beans.
The forage beans, which are, they'll grow. If the deer don't hit them, they'll grow 6 foot tall.
Yes, which they, and I have exclusion cages to show you that.
Yes.
And you can see I'll take some pictures. We'll put them up on the Facebook
That'd
page.
That'd be interesting.
Also, on planting and all that before... I know it's fishing time, but sometime it depends. You'll hear. I actually got a guy who is right out there next to us who says it's August when he plants his chufas. I've always been somebody from earliest, the weekend after Father's Day through the rodeo weekend.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there has always been my chufa planting. And also, if you're going to plant for doves, if you're going to get dove fields ready, June is your month to do that. You can, if you're in the South Zone, you can sneak it in July, but that just depends if you get rain. So
it's a lot of work.
Just thought I'd add that to the mix.
And maybe we'll have some pictures next week. I mean, you're going to go.
Yes, we go on fishing. Mike and I get to go fishing together. So, we'll talk about that next week's show. All right.
Prep Sports Report. They're on the way next.